Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Surprise Jab Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Ruger, surprising you with new topics every single week and jabbing you with your daily dose of UFC dose. Usually it's dose. I guess on today's episode, it's dose. But I'll just tell you what, we're taking a dose of something spectacular on today's episode. I am satisfying my inner child, my inner youth, as today we are going to be going through and giving our official predictions for WrestleMania 41. That's right, the Super Bowl of professional wrestling. That is WrestleMania 41, main evented by Cody Rhodes and John Cena on night number two. And on night one, don't forget about it, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, CM Punk in a triple threat match. That's right. Right, ladies and gentlemen, your WrestleMania 41 predictions are here, and since this TKO merger, and because it's Easter, I guess, the UFC has elected not to have a UFC event. So, no UFC this weekend, but we do have WrestleMania, which I'm super excited for. So, we will be going through and giving our predictions for all matchups. I believe there's 13 right now. Maybe they'll announce one for the 14th. They'll announce one on Friday Night SmackDown to make a 14th match. We'll have to see. But we're going to go through the whole card, give our thoughts every matchup, and who we think will come up victorious. Also, we're going to be going through and ranking every single WrestleMania main event. There have been 45 WrestleMania main events through 40 WrestleManias. I know in this new era we've had, post-COVID era, we've had, actually starting with COVID, we've had two-night WrestleMania main events. So we're going to go through, rank all 45, and give our thoughts on what we think will happen. So without ado, let's get right on into this episode, I should better say. And there have been no new UFC events to discuss, no new UFC fights. So what we are going to talk about is the new updated UFC rankings, because the ranking committee has given us a plethora of stuff to look at. Since UFC 314 went down, a lot has changed. Volkanovski's back in the mix. We've had some jumps with Dominic Reyes, Gene Silva. We got a lot to talk about. Let's get right into it. Kicking off, women's bantamweight division. No moves. Nora Cornelia goes out and gets a finish and doesn't move anywhere up in the rankings. And the women's bantamweight rankings are not hard to get into. Let me tell you that. I don't really know what's going on. Obviously, we got Kayla Harrison taking on Juliana Pena. I don't really know if Macy Chison, Norma Dumont, Jaco Penton got anything going on, Ketlin Vieira, but we'll have to see. This division's always kind of been dead since Amanda Nunes left. I mean, maybe Julia Pena and Kayla Harrison can do something to reignite it, but as of right now, nothing for the women's bantamweight division. Women's flyweight division, no rankings changes, and we're kind of just waiting for Alexa Grasso take on Manon Fiorot. Some changes will happen there as well. We have Erin Blanchfield taking on Macy Barber, Natalie Silva taking on Alexa Grasso. So there's fun top five matchups happening. We just need to wait for them to take place. And I think Rose Namajunas has a matchup coming up with someone. Isn't Rose Namajunas fighting someone? I swear. Jasmine Jesse DeVicious. I swear those two are wrestling. I swear. Are they fighting? Whatever. I don't know. But here's where we get into some interesting stuff. Women's strawweight division. Virna Jandidova is somehow the number one ranked strawweight in the world. That's right. She's the number one contender. And it's just very odd. There you are. She's just kind of Rose, no personality, never says anything on the mic, kind of a goofy looking face, and she's grappled her way to victory. So good for her. She's beating Yan Cheon and Amanda Lemos. I'm pretty sure Mackenzie Dern. She's Marina Rodriguez. I don't know. She's worked her way up. She's now ranked number one as she jumps two spots. Yan Cheon drops two spots. I don't know why she gets dropped past Tatiana Suarez. Tatiana Suarez put up far less of a performance against Zhang Wei Li than Yan Cheon did, but it is what it is. Amanda Lemos also jumps up to the number four spot, tied with Jessica Andrade. So I'll be interested to see what happens in this division. You know, obviously, Vera Jandidova will be next for Zhang Weili. We'll get that fight booked for later in the year. Tatiana Suarez is either going to retire or, I think, take on Mackenzie Dern or Amanda Lemos. And as for Yan Cheonan, it's a pretty similar situation. Mackenzie Dern rematch, maybe takes on Yasmin Lucindo. I don't know. There's a lot of options, but Vera Jandidova makes a big jump. Women's pound for pound rankings, Virna Jandidova jumps four spots. That's right, from 12 to 8. Yan Cheonan drops two. Jaco Penton and Rose Namajunas each get bumped down two. But Virna Jandidova is now the number eight woman on the planet, technically, in terms of fighting, according to the UFC. Isn't that fascinating? Get into our men's divisions. Heavyweight division, no new changes. We await, hopefully, for John Jones versus Tom Aspinall. No idea if that's going to happen. No idea what's happening with Ciryl Gane, Alexander Volkov, Sergey Pavlovich, Halton Almeida. There is no fights going on at heavyweight. All we've been waiting for is Curtis Blaydes versus Rizvan Kuniev, which keeps getting rescheduled. Other than that, maybe a Derek Lewis, Talishan Teixeira fight. There really is nothing going on at heavyweight. But a division that does have stuff going on. Men's light heavyweight Dominic the Devastator Reyes. Oh my gosh, it's been so satisfying since last June watching him revitalize his career, doing it all within under a year. He's now up to the number 8 spot in the rankings, making a 3-spot jump. I love it. He caught all Alexander Rakic at 6. I absolutely adore that fight. You could also run back a rematch, him versus Jan Blachowicz. That could work. You could even do him versus Jamahal Hill. There is a lot of options for Dominic Reyes. I'm so excited for him. And by the way, let's not act like he hasn't returned and knocked out all three guys he's taken on. The Dustin Jacoby one in 2 minutes. The Anthony Smith one outstruck him by over 100 significant strikes to that round 2 TKO. And Nikita Krylov, he literally recreated the Jose Aldo Conor McGregor knockout. So put some respect on the Devastator's name. He's ranked at number 8. Nikita Krylov drops to number 10. Johnny Walker gets bumped down to number 11. Johnny Walker has a fight coming up with the undefeated number 12 ranked Alzamat Mirzaganov right next to each other in the rankings. As for Nikita, I mean, there's Bogdan Guskov at 13. There's going to be Zhang Mingyang once he presumably destroys Anthony Smith in 2 weeks. So, yeah, some options there, but tough luck for Nikita, but great work for Dominic Reyes. Men's middleweight and welterweight, no new updates. Pretty much middleweight does it have anything going on? I honestly don't know, guys, if men's middleweight has any fight going on. Now as I look at the rankings, you have Rainer De Ridder at 13 and Michelle Barra at 14. They have fights booked against Bo Nickel and Abus Magomedov, respectively. Other than that, I don't think anyone. We're just waiting for Hamzat Chimaev and Justice Duplessis news. For welterweight, pretty similar scenario. I mean, you do have Ian Garry versus Carlos Prates, which is massive. Bilal Muhammad's taking on Jack Della Maddalena, but dust is settled. Sean Brady, Shafkat Rakhmonov, Jack Della Maddalena, Joaquin Buckley, the winner of Ian Garry and Carlos Prates. There is a lot of contenders. At men's welterweight, it's going to be a big sorting out process. But let's get to lightweight, because lightweight had some massive changes. First off, Joel Alvarez in the rankings at 15. They can't decide, should he be in the rankings, should he be out? He's finally in. He, of course, takes on the number 13th ranked Benoit Saint-Denis. Coming up, Michael Chandler drops 5 spots to number 12 as Paddy Pimblett is bumped all the way up to number 8. And even Matheus Gamrot gets a little bump up to number 7. Good stuff. Paddy Pimblett deserves to be at number 4 and, you know, not number 4, but number 8 in the 4-spot jump. I am a little shocked that they have him below Matheus Gamrot, because it is almost guaranteed he's taken on Armin Sarukian and Charles Oliveira or Justin Gaethje. Dustin Poirier's retirement fight is also apparently going to be announced in the next few weeks. He's ranked number 5. I'm thinking it's either number 6 ranked Dan Hooker or number 4 ranked Max Holloway. I would hope it's one of those two, unless they throw a curveball in at Tiotopia. Wouldn't that be devastating? But Paddy Pimblett, he's got a big fight booked next for whenever that takes place. He's going to have a good date. As for Michael Chandler, you know, I think he spoke with the UFC and it's legit. He fights Conor McGregor or he retires, and I'm unfortunately thinking it's the latter. I'm thinking that Michael Chandler is going to have to hang it up. I don't see him sticking around, you know, waiting to fight other guys. I mean, they don't get easier from here. Who is he going to fight? Winner of Joel Alvarez and Benoit Saint-Denis? You know, him versus Grant Dawson, that's a good matchup, but Michael Chandler has never been the guy to take pick-me-up fights. You know, even when he fought Dan Hooker, people were kind of like, oh, they're giving him a layup, but turned out, no. Dan Hooker is still legit. So poor stuff for Michael Chandler. I mean, it really sucks to see him like this. I think he's 2-5 in the UFC, maybe even 2-6 or something. I don't know, but hopefully he can turn it around, because Paddy Pimblett has certainly turned it around. 9-fight win streak, and he's got a top 5 matchup coming in next. Another division that had a lot of movement, the men's featherweight division. Volkanovski, your new champion. Who'd have thought? Who'd have thought the start of the year Alexander Volkanovski would be champion again? Not me. Now, he didn't have to fight Ian Topira. He just had to beat Diego Lopez. So, with him moving up, Max Holloway's now at number 1, Diego Lopez at 2, and Ian Topira is still in the rankings at 3. I mean, this legit makes no sense. Yair Rodriguez is also tied at number 4 with Mosvar Evlov. Arnold Allen's moves up to 6. Brian Ortega drops down to 7. Stay with me now. Gene Silva debuts at 11. Giga Chikadze's bumped down to 12. Yusuf Zalal's bumped down to 13. Danigue's at 14. Calvin Kattar drops down to 15. Bye-bye Bryce Mitchell from the rankings. Wow. Mouthful. Mouthful right there. Let's sort it out. Volkanovski should fight Mosvar Evlov at number 4. Max Holloway should leave the featherweight division, fight guys at lightweight, such as Dustin Poirier. Such as, I'll even throw in, who else? Armin Sarukian. Throw in Charles Oliveira. Fights like that, okay? Diego Lopez. Him versus Yair Rodriguez, there's the perfect fight right there. Yair wants a title shot. Diego Lopez, legit, I feel like he deserves another title shot. Those two can fight later in the year. Now, Arnold Allen at 6, Brian Ortega at 7, Leroy Murphy at 8, and Aljamain Sterling at 9. There's your mix right there of what we're going to do with them. I'll even throw in Josh Emmett, Gene Silva, because there's a big combo right there. One of those guys is getting Aaron Pico. If it's me, I'm giving Aaron Pico to Brian Ortega. Actually, yeah, probably Brian Ortega and Arnold Allen, you know? Leroy Murphy, I think, is going to have to wait in the wings. They might even have him run it back against Aljamain Sterling. Gene Silva feels like he deserves a big fight, but honestly, him versus Josh Emmett feels like the next move. Giga Chikadze is taking on David Onama. Yusuf Salal, too, deserves a big fight. Featherweight division is getting crowded, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll have to see what happens. But a lot of rankings changes. Volkanovski being champion again. Like, it's crazy. A year ago, he lost the belt, and he already has it back. And he didn't have to fight the guy that he lost it to. Very fascinating. Bantamweight, no new updates there. Of course, we get Muram and Sean O'Malley. Don't know why we're doing that. Peter Yan's calling for a fight. You get Corey Sandhagen, Davison Figueiredo. He got a lot of options. Honestly, the only option, it seems, is Peter Yan versus Umar Nurmagomedov. That's all I'm really seeing. And then Song Yadong fights loser of Muram and Sean O'Malley? I don't know. Interesting stuff. Flyweight, no new changes. I mean, honestly, I have no idea what's going on at Flyweight. Flyweight really needs something big to happen. They don't even know who the number one contender is, for goodness sakes. But to round out our little rankings update, Volkanovski jumping two spots from 11 to 9. Pantoa down to 10 and Tom Aspinall down to 11. Good for Volk. Back in the top 10 of the men's pound for pound. He deserves it. Son of a gun, he deserves it. Let's give this man his flowers. Let's give this man his credit. He worked his way back. All right, and that Diego Lopez fight was gritty. It was tough, and he earned it. He earned it. So props to Volk. I got to give him his credit. Respect. Respect, man. But with that, ladies and gentlemen, that's all the UFC for today's episode, because from here on out, it's all about that WWE wrestling. Let's get it. So for my criteria for the 45 main events of WrestleMania, which is the Super Bowl of WWE, as I've been mentioning many times and will mention over and over, you know, for people that don't watch wrestling, you have to understand there are different eras. So WrestleMania started in 1985, and the content, product, and overall wrestling you see today is night and day from what you got in the 80s, 90s, and even into the early 2000s is when you finally saw the real turn into how wrestling is nowadays. So you're going to see a lot of WrestleMania main events that are probably in the 80s and 90s in your bottom half of this, but, you know, better than nothing. I don't know, but you understand, I think, what I'm saying. We're going to get right into it with number 45. That's right. The worst WrestleMania main event brings us to WrestleMania 9. WrestleMania 9 overall is probably widely regarded as one of the worst WrestleManias in history. And if I were to tell you the main event was Hulk Hogan defeating Yokozuna, you probably wouldn't be too surprised. You know, Hulk Hogan dominated the 1980s into the 1990s of professional wrestling. But what you may fail to realize is that the actual main event was Yokozuna defeating Bret Hart to win the WWF Championship, which, mind you, wasn't the best wrestling match, but still, nonetheless, it was Yokozuna finally winning the WWF Championship. And then they just bring Hulk Hogan out and have a 22-second squash match, and he wins. And he wins. I kid you not. The official WrestleMania main event is Hulk Hogan versus Yokozuna. It is insane. And this isn't no WrestleMania 36 Big Show Drew McIntyre dark match. No, this was the actual, like, they just brought Hulk Hogan out and did it. And this is what I think finally sent people over the edge with Hulk Hogan. WrestleMania 9, hands down, the worst WrestleMania main event. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. Number 44. You know, we're in the same early WrestleMania stages. So WrestleMania 7 at number 44 is coming in here. And I've actually watched this match. Sergeant Slaughter versus Hulk Hogan, main event WrestleMania 7. And it's 20 minutes of Hulk Hogan versus Sergeant Slaughter. It is so boring. It is so boring. And mind you, Hulk Hogan has main evented WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 2, WrestleMania 3, WrestleMania 5, WrestleMania 6, and again, WrestleMania 7. And you have Sergeant Slaughter, who was an American guy, and then he just aligns himself with, like, Iran, and then Iran are the bad guys. It was just terrible. But this match, I mean, I understand, like, we have to look at quality different in terms of matches, but it is so boring. It is so boring. I just cannot get around it. It is unrewatchable. I've watched it once. Once was too many. So WrestleMania 7 at number 44, Hulk Hogan, Sergeant Slaughter. Do not go back and rewatch it. Let me tell you, do not go back and rewatch it. Coming in at number 43 in the bottom half of our WrestleMania main events. WrestleMania 11. WrestleMania 11 was a very weird WrestleMania where you had Lawrence Taylor defeating Bam Bam Bigelow in a singles match. It was a weird call. You know, you had The Undertaker, King Kong Bundy. You had Bret Hart, Bob Backlund. You even had Diesel and Shawn Michaels, which was the best match of the night. Should have been the main event. And you just, you know, I understand doing crossovers, but the main event, Lawrence Taylor and some other NFL players taking on Bam Bam Bigelow with, I think, Ted DiBiase squad. It just didn't work. And mind you, you know, not the worst celebrity match, if you want to call it that, or crossover match, but the fact we had Diesel Shawn Michaels not main eventing was kind of odd, especially when I bring up the Undertaker match, the Bret Hart match. Those matches should have been over this. So this one, just not WrestleMania-worthy main event. It was not it. Number 42, you actually have the second main event of WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan versus King Kong Bundy in a blue steel cage match. And this one's weird. They elected to have WrestleMania take place at three different locations, which means you technically got three main events, but in the history books, it is regarded as just one full card. So you first off had a Nassau Coliseum, so in Los Angeles, and you had Mr. T defeating Roddy Piper in a boxing match, which, let me tell you, if you've ever seen WWE, you know it's fake. Imagine them actually trying to fake boxing. All right, just didn't work. You then went to Rosemont. Actually, where is Nassau? Is Nassau Coliseum in Los Angeles? Am I mistaken? I might be mistaken, guys. I swore it was in Los Angeles. Does it say here on the website? That's in New York. My bad. Yeah, completely my bad. So we're in New York. Then we go to Chicago. You get the British Bulldogs being the Dream Team. Whatever, and then your official main event, as I was saying, Hulk Hogan, King Bundy in a steel cage match for the World Heavyweight Championship, WWF World Heavyweight Championship. It just didn't work. It just didn't work, and you know, I'll just say it, it's just not rewatchable. And King Kong Bundy, it's nothing against him, but him, Andre the Giant, you have guys like just the bigger guys, Yokozuna, it's just tough for them to move around, and Hulk Hogan already just gelled in a specific way with people, and it didn't work. It's just not a good WrestleMania main event. Nostalgic, nonetheless, because you can go, oh my gosh, Hulk Hogan in a steel cage, but going back rewatching it, not good. And now you may be like, oh my gosh, you're just going to list off the first like 15 WrestleManias. No, at number 41, WrestleMania 34, widely regarded as one of the worst WrestleManias. It is really bad. There was only about two or three good matches on here, and especially the entire second half of WrestleMania here was just awful. So, obviously, WrestleMania 34, you're getting things going. You get a triple threat match for the Intercontinental Championship. Seth Rollins, Miz, Finn Balor works. Charlotte Flair ending Asuka's streak. Shocking. Shocking nonetheless. Jinder Mahal winning the U.S. Championship. Weird. Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey versus Triple H and Stephanie McMahon was great. Triple threat match for a SmackDown Tag Team Championship. Okay. And then you have The Undertaker, John Cena, what everyone dreamed of, was awful. Nia Jax being Alexa Bliss, where Nia Jax comes out and is, after she wins, is talking about anti-bullying and the crowd's booing her. Yeah, something's wrong. The letdown that was AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura, also the fact that wasn't the main event. You then have Braun Strowman teaming with Nicholas, literally like a 12-year-old boy. It was insane. And then the main event, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns force-fed this WrestleMania main event. And mind you, you get this main event 4 years later, and it oddly isn't as bad, but just a finisher fest, and then you have Brock Lesnar retaining. I mean, it was out of the worst income. The worst income was the fact Ricky in this match, and then the fact Roman Reigns doesn't even win. Oh, it was just terrible, just utterly terrible. And Roman Reigns is bleeding, and you weren't supposed to have bleeding, and then Brock Lesnar goes backstage and throws the belt in a non-scripted moment again at Vince McMahon. WrestleMania 34, out of all of the recent main events, just awful. And number 8, the final one in our 40s of our ranking, we have WrestleMania 8, a very forgotten WrestleMania, not just WrestleMania, but main event most specifically, going down at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis. You had Sid Justice versus Hulk Hogan, and this was weird because you had Sid Justice winning by disqualification. I mean, mind you, WrestleMania was still the biggest WWE event, biggest wrestling event in the world, but it wasn't at the level it was today. And on here, you know, yeah, Bret Hart, Roddy Piper, you have Randy Savage, Ric Flair, which should have been the main event in a rematch, and this one just Hulk Hogan said justice. It was, you know, it compared to the other Hulk Hogan matches I've discussed, it's more rewatchable than those. That's what I'll say, but nothing nostalgic, nothing good. It just happened and it was over. With that, we get into number 39, WrestleMania 13. WrestleMania 13 is widely regarded as kind of the start of the Attitude Era with Bret Hart and Stone Cold Steve Austin. But little does everyone know, the main event was actually The Undertaker versus Psycho Sid in a no disqualification match. And it's weird to think this was the main event, because the only thing people remember from this WrestleMania, the one thing they remember, is Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin and how amazing that match was. Other than that, no one else remembers, I think. And I had to go back, check this out, and go, oh, this happened. We've seen much better Undertaker matches. Psycho Sid is just one of those guys where it's tough to, you know, as a kid, you're rooting for him. You're like, this guy's awesome. As a 22-year-old, I'm going back, rewatching, going, okay, I can clearly tell he's a bit awkward in the ring. So, WrestleMania 8, the main event, Undertaker, Psycho Sid, at number 39. Back to the modern day, WrestleMania 36, Night 2. That is right, at number 38, WrestleMania 36, Night 2. And mind you, we're going to give this a bit of leeway. This is the COVID era. They had to work with what they had. But a Brock Lesnar-Drew McIntyre match in front of zero people is terrible. And mind you, this Night 2 had just a random assortment of matches. You had Edge and Randy Orton in a last-minute stadium match go almost 40 minutes. And mind you, it's all silence. Everything silence. They hadn't been trying to peep in crowd noise yet. This was pure silence. And you had just had The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, defeating John Cena in a fun animated match. We're going to get to the second animated match from Night 1 later on in our ranking. But that was fantastic. And then you get Drew McIntyre, Brock Lesnar. And it is legit. I kid you not. Brock Lesnar goes and hits some suplexes. Does an F5. Drew McIntyre kicks out. Drew McIntyre does his finishers and then wins. 4 minutes, 4.5 minutes, and Drew McIntyre has won the main event at WrestleMania. Now, in the history books, for any people that didn't live through this, kids are going to look back and go, oh my gosh, Drew McIntyre beat Brock Lesnar. It was so boring. The only reason I give it a benefit of the doubt over the others is because of the higher quality and the fact that Drew McIntyre should have had his moment, but we can't give it too much more. Comes in at 38. It's in the bottom half. At number 37, we have WrestleMania 10. You know, these earlier WrestleManias, not a lot of people remember them. Not really. This one went down at Madison Square Garden, and it was fascinating. It was fascinating because it's hard to picture that the next year we would have had such a fantastic main event with Bret Hart. But here, Bret Hart defeating Yokozuna. I mean, Roddy Piper is a special guest referee. Just one of those WrestleManias. You go back, you're like, this isn't the most entertaining thing. And mind you, the most entertaining thing from this WrestleMania was the match that happened right before it with Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels in a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. One of, if not the best, ladder matches in WWE history. So, Bret Hart, Yokozuna fell flat, and they tried to right the wrongs of the year before with Hulk Hogan, and it just didn't work. So, WrestleMania coming in. Actually, no, they did it. Oh my gosh, WrestleMania 10 was actually the precursor to WrestleMania, oh no, it was the redo, but forgettable, as always, it comes in at 37. Coming in at number 36, we have WrestleMania 4, and, you know, here's the thing with this, is WrestleMania 4, just another weird WrestleMania where there were 16 matches, all right, there were 16 matches, and we came down to it, Randy Savage winning the tournament at the end to become the WWF World Champion was awesome. He had Miss Elizabeth, Hulk Hogan teaming with him. He beat the evil Ted DiBiase, but just a lot went on. Too much went on here, and when we look at the other WrestleMania matches out there, this one just isn't as good. The way it stacks up, it's just not that memorable. Not that memorable. Mind you, Randy Savage has had great WrestleMania main events. We're actually going to bring up one in just a tad. But here, just wasn't to the same level. And obviously, Randy Savage is a legend. But match quality, compared to today, not the same. Coming in at number 35, WrestleMania 33, a personal hatred one of mine. WrestleMania 33, overpowered. A lot went down at WrestleMania 33. Let me tell you, the main event, The Undertaker, Roman Reigns, just being force-fed Roman Reigns. Like, Roman Reigns took a while to get over. I don't think the kids of today understand that the Tribal Chief didn't exist. It was the big dog, and the big dog was exhausting. And mind you, if you had gone to this WrestleMania, this would have been the 13th match you would have watched, okay? 3 prelim, 10 regular, and we've been through a lot. Okay, they did AJ Styles and Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho to open the show. Two amazing matches. You had both Raw and SmackDown Women's Championships in a 4- and 6-pack matchups. You had Seth Rollins, Triple H, decent unsanctioned match. Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton was a weird fest. The highlight of the night, which should have been the main event, Brock Lesnar Goldberg in what is a 4-minute, 45-second match, was amazing. Like, it didn't make sense. It was that good. Undertaker, Roman Reigns. I mean, this is truly an Undertaker that just can't work with Roman Reigns, and it's a no-holds-barred match. It made no sense. And the Undertaker, like, retired. It's just not how you end WrestleMania nowadays. It's just not what you do. Didn't work. It comes in at 35. Coming in at 34, WrestleMania 5. And you know, the moment itself of WrestleMania 5 is good. But the actual match, the actual moments, nothing too memorable, nothing to write home to. Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, it was a great breaking up, you know, the feud there. They were best friends, they were brothers, and now they're going against each other for the WWF Championship, and Hulk Hogan wins again. And mind you, sometimes it works, but, you know, here it was kind of like, again, Hulk Hogan has won, and it was just whatever, you know. Nothing too much to say. Run-of-the-mill match. It happened. Coming in at number 33 for me, WrestleMania 16, and I will say with some of these, I'm not trying to hate, it's just WrestleMania got better. WrestleMania got better, and WrestleMania 16 is actually called WrestleMania 2000, oddly enough. So this one, you had a very, just random, you had Triple H with Stephanie McMahon defeating The Rock with Miss McMahon, defeating Mick Foley with Linda McMahon, and The Big Show with Shane McMahon in a Fatal 4-Way Elimination for the WWF Championship. It lasted 38 minutes. That's insane to think about back then. You know, this WrestleMania doesn't have too much that's memorable. I mean, there's weird stuff all around. There's just nothing really to do. WrestleMania 2000, very forgotten. Very forgotten. And, you know, honestly, I kind of forgot Triple H won this. I really did. But it just, there was a moment where Linda McMahon stood up and you thought she couldn't stand up. That's all I remember from this. So WrestleMania 2000 and WrestleMania 16, we'll leave to the past. Coming in, number 32, WrestleMania 27. And, oh, WrestleMania 27 I remembered so much better as a youth, but just as I've grown old, it is just age awful. This is just not a good WrestleMania. And the fact you end it setting up next year's WrestleMania. Now, I understand WrestleMania 39 set up WrestleMania 40, but not like this. I mean, this is legit. A double countout. The Rock comes out and goes, that's not how we're ending the night. Then John Cena's about to win. Then The Rock as a babyface gives a rock bomb to other babyface John Cena. The Miz wins. You have a heel winning. It's not like Roman Reigns heel winning. No. This is The Miz winning. So I think this is just great for The Miz. For Mike, it's just amazing. Could say not only did he main event WrestleMania against John Cena, but he won. It's pretty cool. WrestleMania 27 overall is highlighted by about three matches. The Undertaker, Triple H, Randy Orton, CM Punk, and Cody Rhodes, Rey Mysterio. Other than that, a lot of bad filler matches. Ugh, WrestleMania 27, much better watching as a child. Watch it today, just don't hit the same. Coming in at number 31, you have WrestleMania 36 Night 1, and I obviously can't give this that much benefit of the doubt, sadly, just because there wasn't a crowd, but for what they had, doing a cinematic match, The Undertaker versus AJ Styles, it worked so beautifully, it was so fun, and going back, this was 24 minutes, watch it live, it felt like it wasn't 24 minutes, it was a boneyard match, they had the cinematography down, it was so good, and, you know, I understand this is technically Night 1 of Night 2, and when we think of Night 1 and Night 2 WrestleMania, we all know Night 2 is the real main event, but this still is a full-on show. It is technically classified as a main event for WrestleMania. The Undertaker, AJ Styles in a boneyard match. No crowd, no actual wrestling, but it was still good. So, two thumbs up from me, but nonetheless, can't even crack the top 30. And coming in at number 30, 30 of 45, might I add, the first WrestleMania. That's right, we had to bump it up somewhat. No, it's the first WrestleMania main event. And, you know, Hulk Hogan and Mr. T defeating Paul Orndorff and Roddy Piper. You know, at the time, it was crazy. It was crazy. You also had King Kong Bundy on here, Ricky Steamboat, Junkyard Dog, Iron Sheik and Nikola Volkov, Andre the Giant, Wendy Richter. I mean, with Cyndi Lauper, that this was a memorable WrestleMania. It started it all off. Is it the most memorable match? No. Do I ever remember what happened in the match? No. But nonetheless, comes in at number 30. We can't give it too much hate. Moving into number 29, so just about almost at the halfway point, we have WrestleMania 3. And WrestleMania 3, obviously most famous for the Andre the Giant Hulk Hogan matchup. Now, this one, out of all the Hulk Hogan matchups that I've been talking about, probably one of the most memorable. You know, it's shown on almost every WrestleMania highlight reel. Of course, Hulk Hogan infamously picking up Andre the Giant and slamming him down, hitting his leg drop finisher, and winning. WrestleMania 3 overall, I think, was probably better than, probably out of 1, 2, 4, 5. It was really up there. So, WrestleMania 3, very good. It is most known for that finisher, or whatever you want to call it. Hulk Hogan picking up Andre the Giant. What was it? The Immortal versus the Immovable Man versus the Immovable Object? Is something like that. I don't know, along those lines, that comes in at number 29. Coming in at number 28, that is WrestleMania 32, and the only reason I'm putting this here and not lower is because it takes place in modern times, it's much more watchable, you know, Triple H, Roman Reigns, and here's the thing, it's just, no one wanted this main event. Mind you, a lot of injuries hit this WrestleMania. There were a lot of people not able to compete, which really hurt it. And we wound up with Roman Reigns and Triple H. And this was just prime. Prime trying to get Roman Reigns over. And out of WrestleMania's 32, 33, 34, where we're really forcing him, this one was the most bearable. That's what I will say. This one was the most bearable out of those. Mind you, there is a better Roman Reigns matchups on here. But in terms of this era with the big dog Roman Reigns, you know, him and Triple H, they put on a fairly standard matchup of 27 minutes. And I'm going to be honest, it's slow paced. It's a very rudimentary Triple H Roman Reigns type of performance. Not much there. WrestleMania 32 overall in general, not too many heaters. Not too many heaters. You obviously have the Intercontinental Championship match. That was good. Chris Jericho, AJ Styles. That rocks. Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks. That rocks. But then you have Baron Corbin winning the Andre Giant Battle Royal. This was the year, like, really died off. You have The Rock facing Eric Rowan in a six-second match. Just an utter joke. WrestleMania 32, one of the more forgettable WrestleManias. Moving into number 27, and that's WrestleMania 18. And one of the most painful things about WrestleMania 18 is the fact that The Rock and Hulk Hogan wasn't the main event. I mean, they're literally on the poster, and they're not the main event. It's insane. That's one of the top 10, you can even argue top 5, top 3 WrestleMania matchups of all time. And mind you, it's nothing special. It's The Rock and Hulk Hogan going around 15 minutes. But just the crowd was so into it. And they did exactly what they needed to for this match. It is such a watchable match. It is so fun to watch. And honestly, sometimes people forget, even I forget, like who won this. And you're watching it like, oh my gosh, who's going to win this? It's super good. The actual main event, Triple H defeating Chris Jericho. So forced. So forced. This was prime Triple H forcing himself into the main event. Him and Chris Jericho just did not need to be the main event. It didn't need to be that at all. So, unfortunate stuff there, but we all know WrestleMania 18 is famous for The Rock in Hollywood. Hulk Hogan. Coming in at number 26, WrestleMania 25. WrestleMania 25, the 25th anniversary of WrestleMania. It's weird. We are closer to WrestleMania 50 than we are to WrestleMania 25. That was a weird thought, but WrestleMania 25, was it truly the 25th? Was it like truly as special as people remember? You know, the Money in the Bank ladder matches at WrestleMania, I think, are better than the ones you get on the PLEs. But then you get some weird stuff. You have Santino Marella dressing cross, winning the Miss WrestleMania Battle Royal. That was comical. Think of Chris Jericho squashing Jimmy Snuka, Ricky Steamboat, and Roddy Piper. Interesting. Matt Hardy and Jeff Hardy Extreme Rules match, pretty good. Rey Mysterio squashing JBL. And then you have the greatest WrestleMania match, probably stylistically, just straight out. Like, no one anticipated it to be this good, but The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And it's just the show wasn't the same after that. The show wasn't the same after that. And obviously, you get John Cena being Big Show and Edge. Cool moment there. And the main event, Triple H, Randy Orton, and it just falls flat. This is most famous for there should have been a stipulation, and not only was there not a no disqualification, no holds barred street fight, the stipulation was if Triple H is counted out or disqualified, he loses the title. It was just one of the best build-ups to a matchup that I think this may be the best build-up to a match that underdelivered. I truly believe that, so it's unfortunate, but at the same time, it's not as bad as some of the ones we've talked about beforehand. Coming in at number 25 on our list out of 45, we have WrestleMania 35. Ooh, a lot of fives right there. WrestleMania 35 probably would have been higher. WrestleMania 35 probably would have been higher. Of course, the first ever women's main event on WrestleMania. Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and Charlotte Flair. And these ladies had everything stacked against them. I mean, mind you, they were the 16th matchup. 16th matchup. That's right. There were 16 wrestling matches on here. And it was just exhausting. And mind you, not just 16, but a lot of under-delivering matches. AJ Styles, Randy Orton under-delivered. You had a lot of course, you had multiple fatal four-ways for the WWE tag, SmackDown tag team, the women's tag team. Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan wasn't even the halfway point. All right. You have, that's the best moment from this WrestleMania. So it's just unfortunate how it worked out, but the finish to this matchup also didn't go well because, you know, Becky Lynch pinning Ronda Rousey was an interesting call. And they also fumble the finish, but nonetheless, it's still pretty good. Not too bad of a triple threat match if you just go straight up and watch it, but the crowd was just, the crowd was clearly losing their minds by the end. Coming in at number 24 on our list, we have WrestleMania 6. That's right, going back to the sixth ever WrestleMania, and this was truly awesome. Ultimate Warrior Hulk Hogan, and mind you, looking past their in-ring skills, I mean, just these two knew how to sell, and the crowd was red hot, and you had the Ultimate Warrior actually beating Hulk Hogan, something we hadn't seen in five freaking years. It was phenomenal to see, and you could just feel the intensity, and mind you, it never got better than this with the Ultimate Warrior. This was prime Ultimate Warrior. This is the only real good match he's had. And it's all people, I'm not trying to be mean. It's the only good thing from this WrestleMania. Good stuff. You know, when it comes to these matchups, we obviously look at the match, but we also look at the moment around the match. That's why it lands at number 24. Coming in at number 23, WrestleMania 37, night one, not only the second ever women's matchup, not only the first ever one-on-one women's main event, but also the first time two African-American women have main evented WrestleMania. And they did a pretty good job, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks, doing what they had to do. WrestleMania 37, kind of that awkward mix between not a full crowd yet, but they still have some people in a crowd, and they were able to go 17 minutes, have a banger match for the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship, and Bianca Belair was so over, and it worked well. See, there's nothing to complain about this. Nothing but good stuff about this. Overall, WrestleMania 37, night one, not memorable at all. This is the only thing notable on this. I mean, you had Bad Bunny and Damian Priest teaming together, John Morrison still in the WWE, weird to think about that. AJ Styles and Omos were together. Cesaro and Seth Rollins having a match. Very interesting. You open the card with Bobby Lashley, who's the WWE champion, submitting Drew McIntyre. I cannot blame myself for not watching WWE in 2021, but Bianca Belair, Sasha Banks, good stuff from those two women. Coming in at number 22, WrestleMania 12. And, you know, this probably would have been a bit higher, but it's just long. You know, WrestleMania 12, of course, it was the Iron Man match between Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart. And not only did no one pin each other until the 60 minutes were up, but it's an hour long. Let's not look past that. And I don't know what to say. It's memorable. They made it entertaining. You know, before I knew wrestling was fake, you know, this was super entertaining. It's being real. The entrances, especially Shawn Michaels, so memorable, but nonetheless, very, very long. Still very good, still memorable. And it Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, that feels like a WrestleMania main event. It's a good job from both of those gentlemen. Now we've moved we've been moving past the halfway point, coming in at number 21, WrestleMania 38, night two. And this is the, I will say, second best Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns matchup at WrestleMania. I was going to say overall, but honestly, they've had better ones at SummerSlam and such. This one was just, it was weird. This one was weird. There's nothing really to say about this one. It was billed as the biggest WrestleMania match of all time, and we're like, we have legit seen this at WrestleMania two times before. There's nothing to expect here. And mind you, it was, they played it so safe. They played it so safe, and night one of WrestleMania 38 was extremely better, so night two was kind of doomed to fail from the start. I mean, I'm not going to say that, but it had a lot of expectations it maybe didn't live up to. Mind you, WrestleMania main event, 12 minutes, 15 seconds. I mean, it took one spear, and by the way, only one F5 to Roman Reigns, one spear from Roman Reigns, and it was over. It was over, and Roman Reigns became the WWE Universal Champion, and him hoisting up both the belts was fantastic. Little did we know, this was only the halfway point of his reign. Weird to think about. Such a weird thought. But Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, there's little to complain about because there's little they did. So, good job to those old gentlemen, but it is ranked at number 21. Coming in, we're getting into the top 20 here at number 20, WrestleMania 14. This is kind of the turning point of WrestleMania main events, you know. This is where we bring in Mike Tyson. This is where we have Stone Cold Steve Austin as the Rattlesnake. This is where he beats Shawn Michaels. And this is right before Shawn Michaels is about to leave the WWE. WrestleMania 14 overall, pretty good WrestleMania. Decently rewatchable. It's okay overall, but Stone Cold, Shawn Michaels, such a memorable WrestleMania main event. Truly, this is, you know, we pretty much credit Stone Cold Steve Austin and Bret Hart as kicking off the Attitude Era. This really sent the Attitude Era into full gear. Amazing stuff with DX and, oh, great stuff overall. Memorable, the finish with Mike Tyson knocking out Shawn Michaels. Double thumbs up. WrestleMania 14 coming in at number 20. Coming in at number 19 on our list, WrestleMania 22. WrestleMania 22, you know, I forget John Cena went on a run where he main evented multiple WrestleManias. I honestly forgot about that, and this was one of them in the main event against Triple H going 22 minutes. And not only did he main event multiple WrestleManias, he went on a submission streak. I completely forgot about this. He submitted Triple H to win with the STFU, whatever he was calling it at the time. But good stuff overall. This WrestleMania is probably more memorable for Rey Mysterio winning the World Heavyweight Championship, Edge spearing McFoley through a flaming table. A lot of entertaining stuff there. Honestly, Rob Van Dam won the Money in the Bank on this WrestleMania. That's very weird to think about. But John Cena, Triple H, you've seen it so many times, you already know what to say. And the fact they were able to main event at WrestleMania, looking back now, is so crazy. I'm so glad we got that match at WrestleMania. Fantastic. And this is actually very weird, because after this WrestleMania, There hasn't been a small crowd like that. I don't consider COVID or 2021 as counting it, but after this, you know, they had about 17K for this WrestleMania at the Rosemont Arena. After that, it was 70s the next 8 years. And then you had some 60s, some 60s, and 80, more 68, 700s. So yeah, this was one of the last smaller WrestleManias. Coming in at number 18, WrestleMania 39, Night 2. WrestleMania 39, Night 2. Of course, Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. A lot of people like this one better than WrestleMania 40 in terms of a match. But I will say watching this, it's long. It's a long rewatch. It's not as rewarding, per se, as WrestleMania 40. I'll say the shock factor there for Night 2 is insane. Insane. The fact that Roman Reigns retained blew everyone's minds. Like, it was, they were setting up Cody Rhodes to win so hard, and when they swerved us, it was legit like, what? Are you kidding me? And mind you, this is over a 30-minute match. This is 34 minutes long, and you have a Solo Sikoa interference, and Cody Rhodes loses, and he's doing the John Cena, like, staring off like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, my life is over, and Roman Reigns retains. Oh, and mind you, Roman Reigns' entrance for this, so fantastic. But all the ones above this main event, I do think are better main events. Now, mind you, I still think WrestleMania 39, Night 2, the official main event, is phenomenal. Now, ooh, phenomenal. AJ Styles. Fully, AJ Styles could have had a real WrestleMania main event. Makes me sad they didn't give him one. Coming in number 17, WrestleMania 15. A lot of people forgetting about WrestleMania 15. You know, The Rock, Stone Cold, Steve Austin, their first encounter at WrestleMania. Oh, what a fun match. What a memorable match. And just two icons of the generation. No disqualification match. Mankind was a special guest referee. This was phenomenal. And Stone Cold Steve Austin winning made it even better. You felt the passion. You felt the intensity. This was prime attitude era. And it was everything I love about professional wrestling. The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin doing what they do best. Coming in at number 16, WrestleMania 39, Night 1. Now, here's where things get interesting. You'd be like, how can a tag team match be over Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes? Well, let me tell you, little one, let me tell you. It is simply because this tag team match was so amazing. Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn defeating the Usos, ending their run as WWE Tag Team Champions, the longest reign of all time, was such a feel-good moment. And so shocking, and it truly felt like this was the turning point, the end of the bloodline, and all the kickouts here. I mean, truly 2.99999999999. You really thought it was over every time, and the finish was fantastic, and you felt the emotion from Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And it's one of those WrestleMania main events where it's unexpected, like you didn't expect it to be as good as it was, and that you could truly say, this is the best tag team match to ever take place at WrestleMania. One of the best tag team matches of all time, WrestleMania 37, Night 2, comes in at number 14 on our list. Coming in at number 13, WrestleMania 20. WrestleMania 20, we have to give WrestleMania 20 its props. Okay, now obviously WrestleMania 20 was main evented by none other than Chris Benoit, of course, a controversial man, defeating Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But I do have to say, one of the greatest triple threat matches you'll ever see, okay? I know Chris Benoit, terrible human, killed his family, but yeah. Yeah, we can't really give this much too much credit due to Chris Benoit, but nonetheless, the in-ring chemistry with those three was phenomenal. They gelled so well together, and no one's going to bring up WrestleMania 20. Let me just tell you, no one's going to bring up WrestleMania 20. When you see the highlight reels, it's going to be Goldberg beating Brock Lesnar and Eddie Guerrero pinning Kurt Angle. That's what you're going to see. Even Undertaker and Kane, with the Undertaker's return and his entrance, was pretty entertaining. But main event, great triple threat match. Got to give it its credit. Coming in at number 11, WrestleMania 21, a sneaky good matchup right here between Triple H and Batista, and I'm so happy they pulled the plug on Batista. They really gave him this opportunity to main event WrestleMania, and it's weird, Batista was the guy before John Cena. I mean, truly, John Cena beat JBL on here, but Batista defeated Triple H, and it wasn't what no one was going around this time beating Triple H. Triple H was beating everyone, and Batista wins the Royal Rumble, and he leaves Evolution, and he comes and wins. And the fact Batista was able to main event WrestleMania really makes me happy because he deserves it. All political stuff and Hollywood stuff aside from right now, the Batista I know and love was out here main event WrestleMania and powerbomb and Triple H to become the new World Heavyweight Champion. I still think he looks the best with that belt. He just wears it so freaking nice. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to get into the top 10 WrestleMania main events of all time. And coming in at number 10, WrestleMania 38 Night 1. And when I talk about WrestleMania main events, I want unexpected. I want to be shocked. And let me just tell you, nothing was more shocking than them ending the show with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kevin Owens doing a... What was it? The Kevin Owens show, and Kevin Owens is going to interview him, and they're talking, and right away you notice Stone Cold had his knee braces on, and you're kind of like, okay, maybe he's going to hit a stunner, maybe he's going to do something, but then they announce they're having a match, and you may think, okay, we've seen The Rock squash Eric Rowan, we've seen Sheamus knock out Daniel Bryan, right? This is going to be a little squash match. No. Almost 14 minutes in a no-holds-barred match, and Stone Cold Steve Austin turns back the clock and whoops Kevin Owens. And I think the most shocking moment in this match was when Kevin Owens was putting the beatdown on Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve was taking bumps, and we were going, oh my gosh, he's going to injure himself. He's legit going to injure himself. But no, not only did he win, but that place went crazy. They were bashing beers. And mind you, you know what they had to follow? They had to follow the return of Cody Rhodes to WWE, and the fact they were able to do that, the fact that happened, I mean, it's just phenomenal work. Phenomenal work. But Stone Cold Steve Austin returning against Kevin Owens, my number 10 WrestleMania main event of all time. No one expected it, and it was so fun. It's so rewatchable. It's so entertaining. It's what WrestleMania is all about, creating moments. Coming in at number 9, WrestleMania 19, Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, just two of the greats right there, and we almost watched Brock Lesnar die, for goodness sakes. He tried a shooting star press, almost broke his neck. Doctor said the only reason he survived is because his neck is freaking freakish, for goodness sakes. WrestleMania 19, overall, phenomenal WrestleMania. You get The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin for the final time. Shawn Michaels, Chris Jericho was phenomenal. You have so many good moments on here. And Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle is just overall a great WrestleMania match. Great chemistry between those two. Great intensity. I mean, they truly personified bringing it at WrestleMania, delivering us the moments. And it was a deserved main event. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle, nothing to say about there. They have great chemistry. They were doing big things. And this wasn't your Brock Lesnar who was doing suplexes all the time. This was young, athletic Brock Lesnar bouncing around all the place, which was very fun to see. Coming in, number 8, WrestleMania 24, The Undertaker and Edge. And a lot of people credit this as the start of The Undertaker's legendary run. I mean, insane. Insane work from these two in this one. Like, I mean, Undertaker went on a streak of just phenomenal matches, and him and Edge went crazy here. I mean, the entrance from Edge was phenomenal. Same with the Undertaker. And, you know, people forget Undertaker, you know, because of how old he got towards the latter years from 2017, 2016, 2015. And forward, I should have said, some 2015 on. But he was good. He was good. You're going off the top rope. I mean, taking dives and the quick countouts here. And you really thought Edge was going to win at times. And his cronies getting involved. Huh. It was so phenomenal. So phenomenal. Great work. It comes in at number 8. And as I just looked at my list, I think I skipped over WrestleMania 23, which was at 12. So I skipped over 12 on accident. I think WrestleMania 23 was John Cena, Shawn Michaels. Good match. You may hear John Cena, Shawn Michaels and think it was this groundbreaking match, but it really wasn't, but it was still excellent as it comes in at number 12. But I just noticed I missed that. But honestly, the reason I missed it is because, I mean, it happened. It's John Cena, Shawn Michaels. They could never deliver a bad match, and it just comes in at number 12. Now, back to where we were at. Number 7, WrestleMania 17. And I mean, when we're talking about moments, we're talking about Stone Cold Steve Austin siding with Mr. McMahon. I mean, what? What? Whoever saw that? Who would ever see that coming? Stone Cold Steve Austin beats The Rock again in no disqualification match. Banger, no disqualification match. 28 minutes long. And then just sides with Vince McMahon. They share a beer and he doesn't give him a stunner. I mean, the entire universe was shocked. I mean, this had broken all boundaries of the world. This had broken life. Everyone was confused. Like, these are two mortal enemies. This is literally Jesus and Satan, for goodness sakes. And they're together now? Now, obviously, we all know how it all works out in the end with Stone Cold Steve Austin turning on Vince McMahon, as he should, but shocking stuff in the match. It delivered. You would never think that The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin were bringing out 4 out of 5, 5 out of 5 star matches, but they were. They truly were great back in their prime. Coming in at number 6, guys, WrestleMania 31. I mean, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, their best match to date. And the entire formula for this was Brock Lesnar's whooping Roman Reigns. Everyone's getting bored of it. And then Roman Reigns rallies. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Roman Reigns is going to win. And then the shocker, Seth Rollins cashes in Money in the Bank. He was doing it before it was cool. He was the first one to do it. It had never been done before. Cashes in, wins. They pull the shocker. You almost thought he was going to lose. And oh my gosh, just an incredible moment. I mean, I'm watching it. I'm watching my room and my jaw's dropped. I hear his music and I'm like, there's no way. There's no way he's doing this. And then we actually all thought that Brock Lesnar was going to win again. And then lo and behold, he gets the pin off, sneaks out of there with the belt before Lesnar can get a hold of him. The heist of the century. They even get a catchphrase out of it, which is phenomenal. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. I mean, it truly was Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, but technically, triple threat match main event to WrestleMania. Phenomenal stuff. WrestleMania 31, overall, a really good WrestleMania. I think it's rated well. I would say underrated, but I do think it's rated pretty well. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into the top 5 WrestleMania main events of all time. And yes, they have all taken place in the last 14 years. Coming in at number 5, WrestleMania 40, Night 1. WrestleMania 40, Night 1. Last year's Night 1 WrestleMania. And I mean, holy cow. Holy cow. When we heard we were getting The Rock and Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, we didn't know what to expect. You know, we were expecting just kind of a regular tag team match. But from the get-go, I mean, it was an all-out war. The match didn't even start for the first, like, 14 minutes or something. And the Rock, his selling may have been the best selling of his career. Everything he got hit with looked good. And the amount of almost falls here was insane. And the amount of swerves, I mean, truly, you all thought Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins were going to win. And then Roman and The Rock pull it out, and The Rock pins Cody Rhodes. Oh my gosh, it was insane. 44 minutes and 35 seconds, and it was never boring. How can you have a 45-minute match? How can you have one of the longest matches in WrestleMania history and it not be boring? You put Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, The Rock, and Roman Reigns in there. It was phenomenal. And The Rock's entrance, oh my gosh, so good. The final boss, phenomenal. Phenomenal. Absolutely love this. This was amazing. This was amazing. WrestleMania 40 truly might be the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And I know it's recency bias for a lot of people, but even a year later, we all are still going like, dude, I think it actually is. Coming in at number 4, WrestleMania 30. Now, what I've come to learn about WrestleMania 30, overall, it's a tad overrated. It's very rewatchable, though. It's very nostalgic for wrestling fans. But a decade later, you know, when we look back on this WrestleMania, I mean, Daniel Bryan and Triple H kicking off the night, phenomenal. Phenomenal. The Shield squash match doesn't age too well. Cesaro winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal felt very powerful. But then John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker fall flat. And you have the streak end. You have the streak end, and then you send out like 10 women to do a Divas Championship match. It was a mess. It was a mess. But in the main event, Daniel Bryan, Batista, Randy Orton, just phenomenal. Just phenomenal. And the moment of Daniel Bryan winning and him overcoming the odds and the power, the Batista bomb into the RKO, oh, one of my favorite moments I've ever seen. Daniel Bryan overcoming the odds was phenomenal. WrestleMania 30, similar to 40, similar to 20, not similar to WrestleMania 10, but some about these every 10 years, they put out banger WrestleManias, and WrestleMania 30 was phenomenal. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we get into the top three main events. And now, when we get into these, all right, match quality alone does not define these, because I want you to know, so out of the three we're going to talk about, clearly what is the better match. But out of these three, this is where they end up. Coming in at number three, WrestleMania 28. John Cena. John Cena and The Rock just felt big. John Cena and The Rock just felt big. And mind you, they had their moment. Oh my gosh, I don't even think I mentioned WrestleMania 29. I think when I listed WrestleMania 15, I meant to say 29, but The Rock and John Cena, their rematch came in at number 15. But the first one, once in a lifetime. You just had to be there. You just had to be there. I mean, even though we got it twice, it is still aged so wonderfully. And WrestleMania 28 overall has just some heaters. Undertaker, Triple H, CM Punk, Chris Jericho, and The Rock, John Cena, 30 minutes. And mind you, it's a slower pace. It's a slower pace, but the storytelling, both of their entrances was phenomenal. The best promos from any WrestleMania. Hands down, the best promos, the best songs. It felt real. They made this feel real. And mind you, they used WrestleMania 27 to build this up. They used Survivor Series. They used SummerSlams. They used the Royal Rumble. They used everything in their power to build this match up. And it worked great. It worked great. And it felt big. And the ending of The Rock winning and John Cena sitting on the ramp. Mind you, John Cena should have turned heel after that. But beggars can't be choosers. It was amazing. It was amazing. One of my favorite WrestleMania main events of all time. I could watch WrestleMania 28 over and over and over. I absolutely love it. Another amazing one. Coming in at number two. Your number two main event of all time at WrestleMania. WrestleMania 26. That is right. WrestleMania 26. Another hidden gem of the WrestleManias. And The Undertaker. Shawn Michaels, no disqualification, the streak versus the career. I mean, the streak versus the career. What a name for a match. What a nickname. And, oh, it was so good. And you're watching this, and, you know, a lot of people didn't know Shawn Michaels' in-ring career when it was going to end. And people were watching this, and they're like, okay, Shawn Michaels can't retire, but the Undertaker streak can't end. And watching it end was just so shocking. And yet again, the selling is phenomenal. The moments here, mind you, 25 is a tad better. And mind you, if 25 is 10 out of 10, this is 9.99999 out of 10. And I mean, 26 overall, I mean, it worked well. It worked well. The card didn't have anything too much of a heater. You saved the two best matchups for last, Cena, Batista, Undertaker, Michaels. And just the final Tombstone Piledriver to put him away. And you're like, dang, Shawn Michaels' career is over. It was just so hard-hitting. The storytelling was on point, and WrestleMania 26, it's just one of the best main events of all time. In-ring, it is the best match on all these matchups we talked about. Of all the main events, this is the best main event in-ring, but there's still one that is better, and it is going to be tough to top. You know, I think it's obvious. You know, it's the only one we haven't mentioned. WrestleMania 40, night two, the last main event of WrestleMania. It's just, I don't know how you top it. I mean, obviously, they are going to top it at some point, but Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, literally the final time, the legendary entrances from both of them, them two wrestling for 25 minutes uninterrupted, then the Usos come out, then Solo Sikoa comes out, then John freaking Cena comes out, then The Rock comes out, then Seth Rollins in the Shield attire comes out, then The Undertaker comes out, and then Roman Reigns elects to hit Seth Rollins with the chair instead of Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes hits his three crossroads, finally pins him, and you can see Roman smirking as all comes to an end. Everyone is cheering. What a loud pop. Everyone was coming down to celebrate with him. I mean, it truly felt like Avengers Endgame. I mean, WWE in 2023 and 2024 was literally Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. It was wild. Even the whole setup of them both mash each other. It felt like Avengers. It was so funny, but Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, Bloodline Rules match for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship, ending the historic reign. What was it, like over 1,300 days for Roman Reigns? Oh, so good, so good. Mind you, Cody Rhodes, he's going to be holding the belt for over a year. I think he just passed over a year or something, if I can remember correctly. I don't know, but man, such a phenomenal main event. It was amazing. It truly is the best WrestleMania main event of all time. But ladies and gentlemen, those are every single WrestleMania main event ranked. Wow, that took longer than I anticipated. But nonetheless, we're still going to give our WrestleMania 41 predictions. Will the main events this year stack up compared to the other two? I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to see. But as of right now, they are slated to. So without further ado, let's get right on into your official WrestleMania 41 predictions. Alrighty, so we don't know the exact order of the matches just yet for WrestleMania 41, but we're going to do them in probably the order of most interesting, least interesting, or I think it's belts to unbelts. I don't know. We're just going off of how Wikipedia has the matches listed. So for night one, going down April 19th, let's kick things off with the... Actually, I think they're going to do Gunther and Jey Uso, but we're going to just do it in the listed match order. The War Raiders taking on the New Day. And I was actually in attendance at Monday Night Raw when these two first squared off. And I thought that would be the only time they would be squaring off. But no, turns out they are going to be running it back at WrestleMania with no stipulations. Just a normal tag team match. And the only way to make this match interesting is to have Big E return. I think that would make things very interesting. However, I don't know if Big E's going to return to cost them the tag team championships or after they win the tag team championships. So I'm predicting the New Day to defeat the War Raiders. I think a win here does a lot for the New Day, especially as a heel faction. The War Raiders, they'll never really move past where they're at. They're never going to be bad. They're never going to be good. They're just where they're at right now, unless they switch up the gimmick somehow, but I'm going with the New Day. A Big E return would really make this special. Next up, Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano. Chad Gable doing this Mexican luchador type of gimmick has been working phenomenally. Surprised this isn't a mask versus mask match. However, I think after the matchup, we will be seeing Chad Gable lose his mask. I think Rey Mysterio here is a safe prediction and the right call. Look, Chad Gable does need a run, especially at the IC title, or even if we switch him over to SmackDown for the United States, but Doing whatever you give Chad Gable, he always turns to gold. Especially with this El Grande Americano, he is doing a phenomenal job with it. But I think Rey Mysterio wins, and then probably you have a little Rey Mysterio's LWO versus American Made with whatever it is, Chad Gable's group. I think they have a big fight or whatever, and Rey Mysterio will stand tall. After that, our other singles matchup, not for a belt, Jade Cargill versus Naomi. I think this would be a perfect pre-main event match, or maybe even like third to last match, because this is a good feuded match, and this is really going to test the in-ring ability of Jade Cargill. Now, she's got the look, she's got the entrance, the persona, but can her in-ring ability with Naomi translate? And I think a win here for Jade Cargill would do a lot more than would for Naomi. Naomi's already had her moments. Let's give Jade Cargill her moments, so let's build Jade Cargill up as someone who can challenge for the Women's World Heavyweight Championship. That's what I think we should be doing. So Jade Cargill winning over Naomi, I do see that taking place. Next up, LA Knight, Jacob Fatu for the United States Championship. This should be a lock with Jacob Fatu, but I do kind of worry to an extent they might have a Solo Sikoa interference of some kind to cost Jacob Fatu. I'm really hoping that's not the case, but it doesn't make sense to have LA Knight retain here. It really only makes sense to have Jacob Fatu win. That's the correct move. That's what they should do. Will they? We'll see what Triple H is thinking, but I am going with Jacob Fatu to beat LA Knight. Now, we get into our three big matchups of night one. So, first off, Tiffany Stratton, Charlotte Flair for the WWE Women's Championship. This is presumably going to be what I will call the co-main event of night number one. And everyone's going Charlotte. Everyone's saying Charlotte's going to win, Charlotte's going to win. But I honestly think they're going to go with Tiffany Stratton. I feel like that's the move you need to do. She's the babyface. She's going to get it done. And also, she's from Minnesota. I got to root for her. I think this would be massive for her. Now, obviously, Charlotte Flair coming back winning is probably going to be what happens, but the fans just could care less for Charlotte. It's not even like her as a heel. It's almost like with Charlotte Flair, it gives Roman Reigns 2016 vibes. It gives Triple H 2003 vibes. You know, just people that WWE unforcefully pushes to the top, and that's what is happening with Charlotte Flair. So I'm going to predict Tiffany Stratton to defeat Charlotte Flair. Any shockers for this matchup? I would hope not. I just hope it's a very good match, that we don't know the chemistry between these two yet. The buildup has been very unorthodox, to put it family just, I mean, it's been almost a mess of a buildup. I say of all the matches we've been through right now, for being where it's had a very mediocre buildup. But nonetheless, we'll just see how they perform when they get to the ring. And also, the entrances should be amazing. The second last matchup on night one, Gunther versus Jey Uso. I'm being maybe told it's going to be the opener for WrestleMania. And let me tell you right now, there's two options here. So I think if it opens, Jey Uso wins because you want to start WrestleMania with a big bang. But I think if it's either second to last or third to last, I think they go with Gunther. So wherever this match is placed will depend on who I predict to win. But I'm going to just go with Jey Uso. I would prefer Gunther to win. You know, they're just having Jey Uso win to give him a moment, of being honest. But that's what WrestleMania is all about. They've done it with Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, Eddie Guerrero. They've done it with, everyone. John Cena, Batista, we've been talking about them. They've done it with everyone as their first breakout championship. So I'm going to go with Jey Uso over Gunther. It just feels really repetitive of last year with Sami Zayn. And as for the match, they really have to spice it up because these two have wrestled before. And in a regular style match, Gunther won clean. So you're going to have to tell some sort of different story here in the ring. I'll be interested to see what happens. But I'm going to go with Jey Uso, but secretly root for Gunther. Secretly a Gunther fan. Don't tell anyone. And with that, it brings us to the official main event, the actual match that we know is going to be main eventing the show. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, and Seth Rollins. Honestly, I think Gunther versus Jey Uso opening, then having maybe Rey Mysterio versus El Grande Americano, then LA Knight Jacob Fatu, little Jake Cargyle, then you do Tiffany Stratton. We'll have to see, but we know where this match is, the grudge match, the massive triple threat match. Nothing is on the line except for pride. Roman Reigns, CM Punk, Seth Rollins. The big story is, who is Paul Heyman going to side with? If he's walking in with CM Punk, who will he be walking out with? Now, I see a lot of people going with Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins has just been cooking too hard to win this. I think what we're going to be telling here is CM Punk finally winning his first WrestleMania main event. I'm going to pick CM Punk just because I'll be rooting for him. And you know, WWE is obviously scripted, but same for UFC. I like to pick guys that I'm going to root for. And you know, with Roman Reigns, I think Roman Reigns would be a big curveball. People are calling Seth Rollins a curveball. Roman Reigns would be a massive curveball. I know people are saying like, oh, he's main evented all these WrestleManias, but no one's really mentioning Roman Reigns winning. Everyone's talking about, oh, Seth Rollins is going to win this. Oh, CM Punk's going to win this. But Roman Reigns winning would be a massive curveball. I'm going with CM Punk. I think CM Punk's going to do it. I think it'd be great for him. And I think that's how you end night number one. This is the first WrestleMania in 2 years, actually 3 years now, since WrestleMania 38, where night one and night two aren't directly correlated. That's what I really like. Now, saw a lot of people saying the winner of this might get inserted into the night two main event. Well, I don't think that's going to be happening, but, you know, we're going with CM Punk. It should be fun. Good night one. Night one should be pretty good. I'm really liking the night one lineup. I'm trying to see. So I have one heel winning, one face. Jacob Fatu is technically a face. Tiffy Stratton's technically a face. Jesus is a face. CM Punk's a face. We'll have to see what WWE likes to go with, but I only have one heel winning. That's the New Day on night one. We'll have to see how my predictions go. But with that, we get into night two, and as of right now, there are six matchups, and the only potential is on SmackDown to get a ladder match or something with the SmackDown tag team titles, or Randy Orton versus Nick Aldis. So I'm just throw out, whoever Randy Orton faces, he's going to win. That's what I'm going to say. If it's Nick Aldis, if it's Sami Zayn, I don't even know who Randy Orton could match up with, but if a Randy Orton matchup gets made, I'm picking Randy Orton. If a SmackDown Tag Team Championship matchup gets made, I'm going to go with the Street Profits to retain. Unless there's a special team they insert somehow, then I'm going to go with the Street Profits. But we know six matchups. First one, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyra for the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. Now, I know we wanted to get Liv Morgan on WrestleMania, but the way we did this in this fashion, it's just, this is such a filler match. It's not these ladies' fault. Like, everyone loves Liv Morgan, but let's be real. When you have Fatal 4-Ways with Penta, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, Braun Breaker, when you have Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, when you have AJ Styles, Logan Paul, when you have Cody Rhodes, John Cena, no one's interested in this. So this is a perfect second or third match, like middle of the road. You know, I don't even know what they're going to open the show with. If I'm them, I'm opening with Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, starting with a bang, but for this one, you got Bayley and Lyra Valkyra teaming up. I think they give it to Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. I think they just have him retained because why not? But they could always give him to Bayley and Lara Vaquera. It honestly doesn't really matter to me. You know, Lara Vaquera is the Intercontinental Champion. Her and Bayley are feuding. They had a great match on Raw when I went there. So we're going to go with Liv Morgan just because she's a star. Next up, AJ Styles, Logan Paul in the only non-title singles match with no stipulation at all. That is just AJ Styles, Logan Paul. And I'm going to be honest, you know, Logan Paul has kind of been on a little streak here. You know, he won at 38, actually lost at 39, then won at 40. I'm going to say he loses here. I think a win for AJ Styles would be massive, but we know AJ Styles only has maybe a year, maximum two left wrestling in general. So I'd love to see him get another WrestleMania win. AJ Styles over Logan Paul. It's going to bang. It's going to be fantastic. The amount of rope jumping, people jumping off the ropes, you're going to see is going to be phenomenal. That's right. We're using AJ Styles' phenomenal nickname to go with that. So AJ Styles over Logan Paul should be fun. And I think, you know, people are talking about who's going to be the in the prime bottle. And I've heard it's Mr. Beast, but I'm also thinking Kai Cenat could be an option, and you may even see Speed get involved here. We'll have to see. And this next match is going to bang so hard. It is going to be nails. I mean, Bron Breakker, Penta, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio. Match of WrestleMania potential. I'm kidding you right now. You know, no hate to Night 1. No hate to all the matchups on here. This match is going to be the best in-ring action you see. Hands down, I can promise that to you. Bron Breakker's spears he's been doing have been getting better. Penta is just a global talent. Finn Balor is forever going to be phenomenal, and Dominic Mysterio, just an absolute gem to watch. Now, the question begs, who will leave with the Intercontinental Championship? Going to be honest, anyone can. Anyone can. I've been seeing a lot of people picking Dominic Mysterio, a lot of people going Penta, a lot of people going Finn Balor, but we are dropping a lot of titles on WrestleMania, and so I am going to go with Bron Breakker to retain. That is right. I think Bron Breakker's going to retain. I think Bron Breakker's just on absolute roll. I think, you know, Bron Breakker could be inserted into the Undisputed WWE Championship title picture, but it's going to be post-John Cena title run. I'm seeing Bron Breakker hold this IC belt or something. I'm seeing Bron Breakker in 2026 really focus on the big bucks. I can see him with the World Heavyweight Championship. I can see him with the WWE Championship. Bron Breakker screams a star, but also Penta, he would look beautiful with the belt. Finn Balor deserves it. And Dominic Mysterio, I mean, Dirty Dom with the IC title. Liv Morgan with the tag. Look phenomenal. Next up, Sin City Street Fight, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre. So glad they had his stipulation. This so desperately needs stipulation. And the fact that they matched up at last year's WrestleMania didn't really have, they've actually had a feud at, what was it, Clash of the Castle? I think it was called Clash of the Castle. They then have been going at it for all this time. It's basically been a feud over a year. It needs to end here. It needs to end here. We dragged out Damian Priest and Finn Balor for so long. We've been dragging out Damian Priest and McIntyre for so long. And I love Damian Priest. I can see them going with the face, but Drew McIntyre deserves this so, so badly. If Night 1 is for the faces, Night 2 is for the heels. I got Drew McIntyre winning, and if he loses, man, him and Finn Balor are just done so dirty for how good they are, for how dedicated they are. I know they get paid their fair share, but come on, give Drew McIntyre the win. It would be phenomenal. And then, with what I predict, we'll open Night 2, similar to how Jey Uso and Gunther, I think, will open Night 1. Io Sky, Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley. Triple threat match for the Women's World Championship. Io Sky, yet again, coming in as champion. It just gives me flashbacks to last year. And she's losing. Don't get me wrong. Io Sky is losing. It'd be a huge swerve if she won. But who is she going to lose to? You got Bianca Belair. You got Rhea Ripley. I'm going to be honest, gang. I'm going with Rhea Ripley. I could also see them having Io Sky win to set up Bianca Belair versus Rhea Ripley, but Rhea Ripley's just so freaking good. She's so fun to root for. And out of all the females in the company, she is the biggest star. Rhea Ripley is transcending women's wrestling, and it is fun. She makes it fun to watch. These three, all the women's matchups on WrestleMania besides the women's tag are going to be interesting to watch. And by the way, all the women in the women's tag team are interesting to watch. So we're going to go with Rhea Ripley, but a lot of these matches, I can see them going 50-50. I think that's one of the beautiful buildups to this WrestleMania. You could see anyone winning any of these matchups. And then that brings us to the main event of WrestleMania 41, Cody Rhodes, John Cena for the Undisputed WWE Championship. I mean, what more could you ask for? What more could you ask for? We're fantasy booking this. I mean, when we found out John Cena had a farewell tour, but we never expected him to actually main event WrestleMania 41. Nonetheless, as a heel, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. And obviously, the prediction's John Cena. Not only should he win, not only do we want him to win, but is the right call. It is truly the right call. If Cody Rhodes wins, I mean, you have to have him go on a run where he never loses the belt. That's what I'm going to say. But I've been hearing a lot of word. You're going to see interferences here. You're going to see The Rock, Travis Scott. You might see Stone Cold Steve Austin. You might see Randy Orton. You're going to see a lot of people get involved in this matchup. Honestly, you don't need anyone. You could have John Cena pin Cody Rhodes clean, and it would do the same justice if you had a bunch of interferences. I think there's a lot you could do with this. There's a lot of story you could tell, but let's not forget The Rock. He held up a 3 at Bad Blood. He held up a 2 when John Cena turned heel. He has one left. So there's one last thing The Rock has to do. I don't know what it's going to be, but John Cena winning the 17th at WrestleMania as a heel. You know, all the children, they hate him now, but all of us OG WWE fans from the early 2000s, we're going to be cheering for you, John. We love that you're a heel. We're all turning heel. We're turning heel this summer, boys. That's all I'm saying. I'm graduating. I'm turning heel. I'm going full John Cena. But guys, those are your official WrestleMania 41 predictions. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I think my buddy Ryan's coming down from Eclair. Come on, over from Eclair, Wisconsin, from college. I mean, I wish my buddy Ty could come down, but oh man, it is going to be so freaking good. 13 matches right now, potential for 14, maybe even 15 WrestleMania matches. I'll be tuned in. I'll be locked in. You best bet we're going to be reviewing all the action on Monday's episode of the Surprise Jab Podcast. But guys, that's all we got for this episode. You might get a special another one this week. We'll have to see. With that, I bid you adieu. I love you all. Guys, kick butt. Live a great life. I love wrestling, and I'll see you next time on the Surprise Jab Podcast.